We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's cloudy.
Get ready.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. So ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready.
Good morning. I'm Brian Kelly, sitting in for, a whole bunch of people who are out right now. And I'm going to be taking part in this Overtime for you here this morning. We have Braxton Payne, Democratic strategist from Show Me Victories. Good morning, Braxton. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
And Charlie Brennan, the host of the Charlie Brennan Show here on KMOX. Charlie, how are you?
Brian, I'm great. Thanks for showing all that enthusiasm for Overtime. He comes out, okay, folks, I'm here.
I'm just trying
for whatever reason.
I'm just trying to be mellow and relaxed a little bit because we have a lot to talk about.
It's going
to
be a long day.
And it's going to be a very long day.
Uh-huh.
But we got some great news.
My mic's not working.
Oh, there we go.
I liked it the first way better.
Yeah, much better. Much better. Okay, so we got some great news yesterday, and let's listen to it. Let's listen to what happened.
It's okay. No, he did it. Mommy, no, he did it. Oh, my God. I'm going to Boston. Oh, my God.
Everybody's favorite Blues fan, Layla, is going to Boston to cheer on her Blues, and it's been such a heartwarming story. Even in Boston, where the fans can be pretty rough, they love Layla, and they are going to welcome Layla, and they actually had some sales up there where they're going to donate some money to her at the arena. I saw a sign that said, "We love Layla." It's part of their charity efforts and that. Some of the fans, I don't think it's a team thing, but very cool. So, Charlie Brennan, that's just a great heartwarming story, isn't it?
Our good luck charm. And I did see a tweet from one Bruins fan today, and the woman indicated, hey, Bruins fans, we're all going to treat this girl, you know, with the greatest hospitality and New England tradition and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's nice. That's heartwarming. And I hope she has a wonderful trip to Boston and brings back the Stanley Cup. I was going to say, I think there are a lot of fun little sidebar stories. And in addition to Layla, my favorite is, I don't know who the genius was who decided to put jerseys on statues of Pierre Laclede, Chuck Berry, and U.S. Grant, but I want to take my hat off to that person. I love mirth, and I think that was just, you know, there's so many stories that bring a smile to your face, and I think I want to throw that. I want to throw my hat in the ring there, too.
I'd like to see one on the Stan Musial statue.
Yes.
That would be pretty cool. Maybe they'll do that tonight at the watch party. One of the things, I was in Nashville this weekend, we were talking about it, and I said I was from St. Louis. And no matter where you're from, if you're from North Dakota, Massachusetts, it's always like, oh, are you a Blues fan? Or how are the Blues? Are you excited? Because I was there on Sunday night during Game 6. So it was a really cool experience to have some civic pride no matter where you go throughout the country. It's something that's very exciting for the city, and I mean the national exposure for once is a great thing.
And it was almost as big, Braxton was telling me before the show, almost as big as when the Fontbonne University men's team went to the volleyball championships in Wisconsin earlier this year.
Yeah, it's almost as big.
Yeah.
Now, in Nashville, they were in the final a couple of years ago, and we're arch enemies with them. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting that they, even people in Nashville, were like, hey, you know,
definitely,
how about the Blues?
I mean, every single cab I got into, Uber ride, it was always the question, oh, where are you from? You know, St. Louis. And that was the first thing they would ask.
Now, what's kind of strange is that if you go to the Boston Globe website and you take a look at the 10 most popular stories, the Bruins Blues aren't in the top 10.
Really?
David Ortiz and his tragic shooting has taken probably four of the top 10. And there are other stories that I'm really scratching my head. Maybe because they've been there so often, I don't know. But they're definitely not as jazzed, at least the readers of that paper online, are not as jazzed, apparently, as people are here.
I was listening to a writer from Boston a while back, and he said that at this point, the Bruins are fourth on the list there because, of course, the Red Sox and the Patriots are number one right now. And, you know, years ago, the Patriots would have been fourth. The Red Sox are up there because they've been very good lately. The Celtics are there. They won a championship not long ago. And then the Bruins. Now, he said back in 1970 and 72 when the Bruins won cups, they were the top sports story in Boston. So I think it kind of changes and evolves, in especially a four-sports city that has seen the success Boston has. So let me ask Braxton, where are you going to watch tonight's game? And tomorrow, are we going to be celebrating or are we all going to be...
I think we're just going to do a house party tonight. I don't think we're going to try to deal with the crowds. But one of the things I thought was interesting, I got back on Monday, and usually Monday mornings there's very heavy for me for work emails. I didn't get a single one until about 2 p.m. So I have a feeling that tomorrow is going, no matter what happens, is going to be a maybe some sort of almost like an opening day, kind of like a national holiday in St. Louis.
Will it be a day of celebration or mourning, Charlie?
Celebration?
Yes.
This is a team of destiny. And, you know, I'm usually the guy with a gray cloud over my head. everything's negative. However, in this case, because they have found the way to come back so many times, and don't forget, in this series, the home team is only 2-4. So I think because this team has found a way to win and has been doing so since January, the whole storyline, the whole narrative is going to go the Blues way. And I'll be watching it at home. Here's what happened to me. I recently moved with the family into a house, and we inherited two big-screen TVs, and we moved in almost exactly the day that Stan Kroenke moved the Rams.
You know, really?
I have been watching Rams in all sports on a very small television set. So finally I get to a house. We got these two huge screens, and the Rams were like, oh, great. Now, you know, good thing I got these big screens. Well, now that we've got the Stanley Cup on the tube, I can watch it on a big screen.
I'm going to watch it at home because I like to be able to stop and replay plays and see what happened and things like that. And we have tickets to the Muni tonight. We tried to turn them back in and say, hey, you know, can we donate these? They said, we've got so many tickets donated back. If you can find someone to take them, good luck.
I was wondering about that because who's going to see Guys and Dolls tonight? As great as that is, and I love the Muni, everybody knows that. I got to believe that, especially near the front stage, I think a lot of those fans are going to be in Boston.
Yeah, they're going to have to show the game on the screen in the background. All right, we're going to talk about some more serious topics coming up next on Overtime. It's 8:39. It's 8:42, and this is Overtime on KMOX. I'm Brian Kelly, sitting in for Debbie Monterey. Braxton Payne, Democratic strategist from Show Me Victories, is here, along with Charlie Brennan, the host of The Charlie Brennan Show, which you'll hear coming up in just about 20 minutes or so. All right, we got to talk about something very serious here this morning. A tragic and deadly week in St. Louis. A pair of shootings leaving two children dead, one seriously wounded. The first, a drive-by in South St. Louis, killed a 3-year-old, wounded a 6-year-old. Yesterday, an 11-year-old girl shot and killed in the Carr Square neighborhood. Now, Braxton, I want to start with you. If these crimes had occurred in Los Angeles or Washington, D.C., maybe New York City, do you think they would be national stories?
I don't think so. I think the big issue is gun violence has become the norm. So anytime there's a mass shooting, it gets about 12 hours in the press, and then we move on to the next thing. It's becoming so normal in our culture for gun violence that, therefore, I don't care. I don't think we really care what city it's in. We just expect it to happen.
Charlie?
I would agree and disagree. First of all, there's three shootings. We had a 16-year-old on Saturday, a 3-year-old on Sunday, and what, a 6-year-old on Monday? Is that how it works?
3, 6, and 11 are the ones here.
And then you got 16-year-old on Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, here's the deal. Stu Durando's going to be with us after the top of the hour, and he's written a very important book about pediatric gunshot wounds and fatalities. It's not getting the attention it should. In fact, I'm not even sure the Post-Dispatch, where he works, has reviewed it. I can't figure that out. It's been out for 6 months. It's a book I wish everyone could read, and I don't want to push my values on anybody else, but it really takes a look at all the gunshots that are directed toward kids in our city. And it does. Stu does interview one doctor at Children's who spent 10 years in Burlington, Vermont, didn't have one pediatric gunshot wound. And now it's like 50 a year or something like that. Just off the charts. It's our number one issue.
You know, is it a public health crisis? Should it be declared
It should be. It should be treated with the same urgency as we treated AIDS or whatever, but there's no telethon for pediatric gunshot wounds.
It should be our number one priority
it
in this country. And it's so political now, and it's disheartening because who cares? You know, we need to come up with a plan that works for both sides of the aisle, blah, blah, blah. It's a three-year-old that just died. Can we not just think about that? It's you know, 20-plus kids in a high school. That's what should matter, not about whether or not it's, you know, banning background checks. It needs to be addressed, whether it starts at a local level and we work our way to a state level and we work our way to a national level. We need to really hone in on what exactly is the problem. And a lot of time it's poverty. We really need to figure that in mental health. We need to figure out how we can address those two things first. And then let's get to the overall, maybe more the in-depth gun debate that does become much more political.
Let's face it. We have firearms in the wrong hands. Vermont has a lot of firearms. That's why Bernie is relatively pro-gun. I mean, he was accused of that by his opponents in 2016, including Hillary. But you have firearms in the wrong hands. Kids with firearms. That's got to stop. And we did have a program at one point under Chief Sheets when he headed up St. Louis, the police department here. And that would be he and his force would go to the door of a home and knock on it and ask the mother for permission to search the home for firearms. Now, you can't search it without the permission, but the program was relatively successful in the early to mid-90s. In fact, it was adopted by other cities like Boston. Maybe it's time to go back to that.
Braxton, you know, why? If 180 people died in St. Louis from anything else, there'd be some action taken. Why is it not happening with guns?
Number one, I think it's politics. I mean, it's too touchy of an issue. And no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you can win with this argument. Whether it be Republicans saying, you know, you can keep your guns, you know, they shouldn't be able to take your guns from your arms. Or if it's Democrats saying, you know, background checks for all. And they don't believe Republicans, maybe not some 96% of Americans believe in that, but we can't pass it through Congress. I mean, that's just kind of ridiculous. But like Charlie's point, that's not going to stop all guns getting in the hands of wrong people. That's why you need to address things like mental health issues. And what is the root cause of poverty? If you can start bringing people out of poverty with good jobs, why would they need a gun? Why would they need to be involved in gangs? And why would they need to shoot each other?
Well, you know, we have been trying things. I mean, the state had troopers that came to our highways to ostensibly relieve the local police officers so they could go back into the neighborhoods. We've had Hayden's Rectangle. We've had other initiatives, hot zone policing, I think the previous police chief had. Right now, the Board of Aldermen just passed $500,000 to kind of look at violence in a holistic way. $500,000 is good. We really need more than that.
But it's got to start before policing.
Well, it does. I mean, Father's Day is on Sunday, and there are groups like the Father Support Center, which are trying to get dads back in the homes and, you know, showing kids the right way to grow up. And I think it sounds really old-time and old conservative to say that, but I think we do need that.
Let's talk Father's Day when we come back. It's 8:48 on Overtime. It's 8:52 on Overtime on KMOX. I'm Brian Kelly, and for Debbie Monterey, alongside this morning is Braxton Payne, Democratic strategist, Show Me Victories, and KMOX's Charlie Brennan. You were talking about Father's Day, Charlie. No, Mother's Day. We spent $25 billion on Mom. Father's Day, $16 billion. Is it time for fathers to say, hey, what about us?
I think here's what happens. Dads shop at the last minute, and to compensate for the lack of forethought, they spend more money. If they had planned in advance and bought something online, you know, did some shopping, some consumer research or something, they could have gotten Mom a gift 4 to 6 weeks in advance, like Mom gets Dad or the kids. But you see, dads shop at the last minute, and so they're the victim of just time, and they end up spending more. I honestly think that dads probably get better gifts than moms do on Mother's Day.
Are flowers overall more expensive than power saws?
I didn't get Beth a power saw this year. I once got her a vacuum for her birthday. But
Ron Jacober once got his wife a snowblower.
Oh, flowers are very expensive.
St. Louis.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, for me, normally me and my dad, we just go out to lunch and get drinks and we kind of hang out. This year, we're doing a dual thing with our girlfriend. We're going to Ballpark Village to watch the USA women's soccer game. That's at 11 o'clock on Sunday. So I think that, and we just kind of, we pay for the tab, and that's, I hope clearly they're not listening. We're paying for the tab. And then we're just going to kind of go along our merry way.
Did you say we're going out with our girlfriend?
No, my girlfriend's, her dad and her mom.
Oh, I was just
getting to know you. All right, so you're going to the soccer game.
Yeah.
So yesterday, the U.S. defeats Thailand 13-0 and celebrates after every goal and scores a lot of goals, 13-0. Some people are saying that's not good sportsmanship. Braxton, what do you think?
No, I think they should celebrate after every goal. They made it this far. They've been working for 3.5 years plus to get to this point. And it's the World Cup. Every single goal matters. So it's a little different than the men's. You know, the third place team can get in a group, and it does go by goal differential. So if you have less goal differential, you don't make it to the next round. So, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of these, there was, I think, three times scores that was in the first World Cup. Their parents are there. I mean, that's an amazing experience. I think they should celebrate every single goal.
I agree with you. You know, it's a learning experience for the losers. Sometimes, and my daughter has played field hockey and lacrosse, and sometimes her team has been on the losing end of like 19-6 games, 24-8, and you know what? I think to myself, well, that's it's a learning experience for the girls on the field, because the girls who win, maybe they spent more time working hard in the summer or at night, or maybe they gave up other things in life so they could practice and become better. And I know it sounds kind of mean and cruel, but when you lose, you can learn an important life lesson.
Yeah, and it's all about investment. I mean, the Thailand and Chile are first-time World Cup, and they finally got as much money as the men's team's program did. So give it a couple years, and I'm sure they're going to be there dominating teams that are their first time.
That's Braxton Payne along with Charlie Brenner. And I'm Brian Kelly as we wrap up overtime at 8:56.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.